Go for it.
Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sean, did you know they made a movie out of Wing Commander, the game?
Is that the one that had...
okay, let's start again. Okay, ready?
All right. Start again.
Okay. So, Sean, did you know they made a movie out of the video game Wing Commander?
Is that the game with Mark Hamill?
Well, he was in Wing Commander 4.
Okay.
Which had tons and tons of cinema. It was like on four discs, like four CD-ROMs at the time, which was amazing.
Dear God.
Yeah, but so they made a movie out of Wing Commander, and I don't know why, but the game could get Mark Hamill, but like the movie didn't have anyone that famous.
That's weird.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, there are a bunch of games that turn into movies that I haven't seen, but then there are a bunch that I did see.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've got that masochistic streak in me, too.
Well, I mean, you know, part of it was I was a kid when some of them came out.
I suppose.
Part of it's kitsch value. Part of it's I really wanted some of them to do well. Heck, why don't we just go through it kind of like that?
Okay, let's talk about games to movies. That's a lot easier than movies to games. But yeah, games to movies. I don't. There's so many. I don't think we'll be able to name all of them. But let's see what we remember.
You can go through a few highlights. So I mean, the two I remember the most, because I think they came out when I was the youngest, were the Street Fighter movies and the Mortal Kombat films. Didn't Street Fighter come out first?
Yeah. Street Fighter was out before Mortal Kombat.
Street Fighter, the movie that killed Raul Julia.
Oh, man. But, I mean, after that movie, he had it coming.
Oh, come on. That's not fair. He just had cancer or something, didn't he?
No, he was...
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But what a movie to end on. That is so sad, actually.
For those who don't know, at least those of us our age, we know him best as Gomez Adams in the Adams Family films.
Oh, those are good films. I think I haven't watched them in many years, but I have fond memories of them.
So do I. They're pretty good, I think.
But I do not have fond memories of the Street Fighter movie.
I don't have very many memories of the Street Fighter movie, except for the terrible wire work and Jean-Claude Van Damme trying to do an American accent and then dropping it halfway through the film or something. I don't really recall.
I think it's okay. I watched it in the theater. I made my dad take me. Whatever. I was old enough to go to a movie myself then, but my brother wanted to see it too, and it was PG-13, and my dad was worried about it. I still don't know why it was PG-13. There wasn't anything in it. By that I mean plot, but
right. Sorry.
I think the scene that summed it up for me first is when Zangief, like, I don't know, there's a building that's blown up or something or whatever, and he goes, "What? Those guys I was with were bad? I want to be a good guy." And I'm like, oh, Lord. I think they had, like, an actual American, like, Hawaiian sumo wrestler in that movie as well.
Right. Oh, man.
Akebono?
So weird.
Was it? I don't know. But
I was just excited to see what hot chick they get to play Sonya, you know?
Yeah. Wait, Sonya?
Oh, sorry. I'm skipping to Mortal Kombat. I have better memories of that one. I meant Cammy, clearly.
Mortal Kombat? I'm okay.
That's a movie I hate to love, but I do anyway.
It was not a great movie, but it wasn't terrible.
No. Yeah, and
I currently have it on DVD.
Yeah, so do I. And the thing I loved about it the most was, you know, I was a big Highlander fan, so, you know, Christopher Lambert, or is it pronounced Lambert? I never know this.
I don't know.
He is foreign. Okay. He played Raiden. So I mean, that's why I like day and date went to see Annihilation, because I was like, yes, more Christopher Lambert, and he wasn't even in it. You know,
no one was in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah,
especially not, I don't know, any director or anything. I mean, I liked the first movie enough that I also went to see Mortal Kombat Annihilation in the theater, and I just remember sitting there watching it going, I am the target audience. What is happening? I don't know what's going on in this movie. It's just like explosions and CG and stuff.
Didn't they kill Johnny Cage in the first 5 minutes or something?
I don't know. It was terrible.
It's like he kicked all this butt in the first film, then they just like this kill him.
He got out easy. He didn't have to be in that movie.
And the guy who played Shao Kahn, like that dude who plays like every Klingon in Star Trek Next Generation ever. Darn it, what's his name? Anyway, what these movies have in common, and this is a terrible misfortune for being based on fighting games, which don't have a story, is that they were pretty literal translations of the source material.
Yep.
And
they
showed.
Really trying, yeah.
I mean, if that's the metric by which you want to measure any kind of translation from some medium, like be it comics or novels or games to movies, that's probably not the one you should actually be using. Because it did not succeed, at least in the case of games that didn't really have a story. They had to, you know, it's still to make dialogue. They can't just have people fighting all the time. Although I think Mortal Kombat had more fighting than not fighting, and I still like that a lot. How does that work?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, Liu Kang wins the tournament, just like, spoilers, by the way, just like all the Mortal Kombat games. Doesn't he get killed at some point?
He defeats Goro.
Yeah, defeats Goro. I loved the freaking Goro fight, the animatronics, and, you know,
oh yeah!
I think there was some even like claymation for some of the faraway shots. I'm not really sure, but he'd be CG today, and it wouldn't be nearly as cool. Especially when he like hits him in the junk, and like the puppet face tries to like look like he's in incredible pain. Oh.
If you watch, if you watch the parts with a Scorpion in that now, you're like, whoa, bad CG. But it looked pretty good at the time.
Right.
Good at the time. You know what looked good at the time and still looks good now and will always be a good movie?
Mm.
Dead or Alive. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I never actually got to see that one. I think we tried to get it once, but it was like a Spanish dub and I don't remember.
The Dead or Alive movie has everything I'd ever want in a movie.
Uh-huh.
It has fighting.
Right.
It has bras being thrown up into the air. It has
a volleyball
fairly
scene.
Fairly good looking women. It has perhaps humor. It has Eric Roberts.
Oh yeah, so did the Doctor Who movie, but that wasn't any good either.
Listen, hey. All right, kind of. But the thing is, unlike Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, which as a kid I went into, you know, hoping, you know, really wanting a good movie. Dead or Alive, I had no expectation for whatsoever.
Oh.
Saw Eric Roberts on the cover, saw what this movie was about. I came in expecting nothing, and when I found something, as bad as it was, I was pleasantly surprised. when they break from their fighting tournament for a little while to play a bit of volleyball.
Okay, I was kidding when I said that.
No, there is a volleyball scene in that movie. Or whatever. And, I mean, it was clear that that people were having fun with it and nobody was taking anything seriously. And that's the thing. The Street Fighter movie seemed to kind of take itself seriously, which I think was a big problem with it.
Oh, kind of. Ugh. Yeah.
But, no. See the Dead or Alive movie, but, like, I turned the sound off. The plot's horrible.
Right. Oh, see, if I'd only known that, I'm not worried about the Spanish dub so much.
Actually, because, I mean, if you get over the plot and the dialogue and the acting and the story and the special effects and the music, it's not a bad movie.
Right.
You know what that leaves? That leaves volleyball. That's all that leaves.
So I guess you can kind of go the other direction. You can take a game that kind of has a story or at least enough backstory that doesn't necessarily make a narrative, but then kind of use those elements to create a narrative. Or you could throw them out entirely and have Super Mario Brothers in the movie.
Oh, I wanted to like that one so much. I feel so sorry for my dad. That's another movie I dragged him
to.
Because I wasn't old enough to see movies myself then, I think. Or maybe I was. I don't. Maybe my parents didn't think I was old enough to see movies by myself. But
yeah.
But I went with my friend, and he was going maybe the second or third time to see it when he went to see it with me. He was really talking this up. And I'm like, oh, Super Mario. It had Dennis Hopper in it. Dennis Hopper.
Rest in peace, Dennis Hopper.
He's a real actor.
I know. And they had Bob Hoskins, which any kid who watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit would be like, yes, yep. It's and it had Eddie.
Yep, and it had John Leguizamo, whatever his name is, who I guess he became famous after this movie.
Right.
But like, if you see it now, you're like, wow.
Well, I mean, I knew of him before that, and he seemed really tame in this film, so that was kind of weird.
Yep.
But and then I was stoked for different things though, like, you know, like an actual dinosaurish Yoshi. They were like really making a big deal of the special effects. Like oh, what are those things called where you, like, stick your hand behind one of those things with all the pins on them, you know?
And they kind of describe that as being
kind of the effect they use.
So when they enter the dinosaur planet, but like it looked like Blade Runner threw up. I mean, you
know? Like literally, I mean, barf, like, everywhere because there was fungus growing on everything.
Yeah, fungus on everything. But it was like this, you know, they looked kind of post-apocalyptic. Kind of. I remember this really long car chase scene in this like taxi with which was outfitted for like street combat, and there was this whole thing with de-evolution and.
Yeah. So like, instead of taking the story, which is, you know, this plumber, you know, goes into the Mushroom Kingdom, which should have been like not Alice in Wonderland, Wizard of Oz type of thing, where he just wakes up in this fantasy world. It's this alternate reality where dinosaurs didn't die out and sort of evolved in this convergent path to a humanoid form, kind of like us. And they find a way into our dimension, and we find a way into theirs, and they're swapping places. And of course, they want to take over our world, and it doesn't really make any sense. But that's how
they were,
Luigi,
like,
and Mario
searching for clean water or something.
Yeah, I don't really remember, but it was a huge contrivance for something that already had an admittedly ridiculous plot, which you know Juario, right?
Yes.
He does this wonderful series of Mario monologues, which I don't know if they're like adapted from like a stand-up routine he did or something like that. But it's like Mario telling this story as he's working on some kind of plumbing job about how, like, you know, I swear to God, I was out in those mushrooms, you know, and like he's like sniffing paint thinner or like whatever fumes.
I love Juario.
Oh man, it is hilarious. But that's the way they should have treated these films. It's like, definitely. Yeah, right, this, you know, Brooklyn plumber had his adventures and was banging this hot fungus princess or whatever.
But, like,
so much.
Yoshi looked like a velociraptor.
Well, he was a dinosaur, yeah?
I know, but, like, you know, kids wanted to see, you know, Yoshi. You know, they wanted to...
Right.
It was gritty and dark and like, so anti what Super Mario Brothers was.
Oh, yeah. Toad was this about giant guy with a tiny
terrifying thing.
Yeah. Was he, like, a street performer that, like, got his head de-evolved or something? It was very confusing.
Just his head or something. And there was, like, this one scene where this very large woman with, like, rocket boots had stolen this jewel, and Mario has to, like, bite into her cleavage or something to get... Yeah,
oh, that's right. They felt like they had to explain why they could jump so high, and so they made these boots.
Yep.
And that's not something I really wondered about Mario, to be honest.
I think Mario will always be better as in like, a cartoon form, because...
Yeah. Yeah.
Some things just shouldn't be adapted.
Yeah, unless you made this into an acid trip and made it tongue-in-cheek the entire time, it had no business being on screen.
They could maybe do it now. With CG and stuff, they could kind of make it, you know, you could put live-action actors into a thing like that.
Yeah, if they made Eddie Valiant in Toontown the entire time, perfect, done. Yeah.
It would have been great. Well, it wouldn't have been great, but
it would have been great, you know it. No,
but you could... Yeah. You could tell Dennis Hopper in it was like, was just thinking, what am I even reading? Because you know he's sitting there and he's like laughing to himself, you know, the whole time, and he's got a I don't know he
come
he,
on President Koopa was rad and you know it.
Well, you did learn some important things in the movie. You learned that Mario's last name is Mario,
and so is
Luigi's
Luigi.
Last name is also Mario. Mario, and Luigi Mario.
Another problem that we really didn't need to have solved for us.
No. Okay, let's move on.
I do want to say one more thing, that the Ba-bombs were actually pretty awesome.
Okay. Yes.
I will give them that. That was hilarious. Like, this tiny little thing, and everyone freaks out, and they're like, what's the big deal? This is a tiny little bomb.
And I also like how President Koopa fights that last battle with what is not movie prop-ized, but an actual Super Scope 6.
Yep.
It is. It's not even adapted. It's just like product placement, I guess. But
okay, so there's other films, more recent films. I think we're going by a metric of improved quality here.
Are we? But we've already been through Dead or Alive. We should have saved that for the end.
Oh. Well, there's anything by Uwe Boll, which
anything.
I don't
and
think
most
I've seen
of his movies are video game movies.
I don't think I've seen a single one of his video game movies. Or any of his movies, period.
I got halfway through... Which one? I got halfway through House of the Dead.
Okay.
And I watched clips of Blood Rain. And I think I got about halfway through the trailer for Alone in the Dark. So I'm not really someone to judge by. But when you go to like a Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes and you see movies that are in the low single digits for ratings,
right,
I can't bring myself to even. This is what we should do sometime. You and I should just rent all of these and just watch them straight through, and then yeah, let's just not. Okay.
Well, I mean, at least a commonality is that they're all like horror based games, right?
Yeah.
So they're horror based movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And horror movies generally do well and don't really have good plots. So you would think it'd be a good match, but apparently not so much.
Well, like House of the Dead had a really convoluted plot because it was translated from Japanese. It was kind of weird, but had they just put it like in a haunted house and had things coming out and exploding, you might have been able to do something with it. Blood Rain had an okay-ish plot, kind of like a Louisiana zombie type thing, or vampire, sorry.
Right.
But I could see it, but they just weren't done very well.
Yeah.
And the Alone in the Dark as a game was pretty revolutionary when it came out. But it seemed like a lot of these just had no business being movies, though.
Well, then you have other situations where, there are games that have, game cinemas in them already, and they have a pretty strong story and tell a pretty good narrative. And you would think, very direct, we're not talking about like the loose conglomeration of backstory that Mario or Zelda might have. We're talking like an actual good narrative structure for any kind of entertainment. And that's what I felt the Prince of Persia Sands of Time series, at least the first game, had going for it. And so I was excited to see what they would do with the movie, despite Chesty Jake. and he was shirtless in every freaking preview, and I don't think he was that shirtless in the movie itself, to be honest. I was very disappointed.
You gotta bring in non-gamers.
That's true. Gotta bring in girls who apparently don't game at all.
Well, now we're gonna
tongue-in-cheek, all right.
Okay.
So, but for some reason, even though the first game anyway had a really strong narrative, they did not use it for this movie. And I can't tell you why. Well, I mean, my best guess is that even though it has strong narrative elements, you actually spend most of the game jumping and failing and jumping and failing until you figure it out. So you really can't make a 2-hour movie out of what might end up being half an hour of cinematics. So they have to fill it. For the most part, I did enjoy this film. I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
My wife enjoyed it. I got it for her for her birthday.
Yeah.
I have not done this for any other video game movie.
Well, it's very possible that because it doesn't feel like a video game movie, and they really made no showing of that it was based on a video game. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. The only thing I can think of is the whole opening scene where like the prince lays out his plan to break into the Sultan's castle or whatever the heck they were trying to sack. Kind of was reminiscent of those flash forwards you'd have in Sands of Time, where you find out what you're supposed to do next, and that was the only time they did it, and they dropped it, and they just had a movie from then on out.
Another thing is, well, how long does it take you to, Sands of Time, how long did it take you to beat the game?
I don't remember, like maybe 12 hours, maybe probably less, but I don't really remember for
probably
sure.
if you didn't struggle with the jumping so much, you could beat it in I don't know, maybe 8 hours, nine,
sure,
something like
sure,
that.
Sure.
But, like, that's still a lot longer than a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for some things to adapt it, if you can't just string together, yeah, cinemas, as you were saying. You've got to make it movie, you know?
It followed the same kind of structure, though, even though the exact story wasn't being told, which I loved about it. Because it took like elements of the other games, which weren't as good, but at least had good ideas in them. I kind of wove it into the story of the original Sands of Time game. Like, you know, the prince is actually out on, going around sacking towns and like plundering gold, capturing a beautiful princess. They have a wonderful adventure together, getting each other's nerves, kind of fall in love. And then at the end of it, the whole freaking world is lost. And then it gets right back to the beginning and he has a chance to change things. And that's basically the narrative thrust of that first game. So they got that. And I think that's part of why my wife likes it, is because there is a good story in there. They just didn't tell the one I love. So
But it worked. It worked as a movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it worked as a video game to a movie. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like they copied the idea of the prince, the time thing, and you know, kind of the atmosphere. But other than that, I mean, you could, if you changed the name of it and released it, would you know it was a Prince of Persia game?
I don't know. Maybe they have to do that to make a video game into a movie. Sort of going along those lines, I think the Resident Evil series sort of takes a page from that idea, because it draws on the elements of the Evil Dead games, Resident Evil games.
Ooh, wishful thinking. Another podcast.
That is another podcast. Wow. It draws on the events of the Resident Evil games, and you can assume that they happen, but it tries to tell a different story kind of running through and concurrently with that. As far
similar
as I know,
characters, anyway. Similar settings, but Resident Evil's more of kind of like a wink and a nod towards the video games.
Right.
Okay. It's like you see the mansion, but you don't do the stuff in them.
You know
what I mean?
Right.
Like the mansion makes its cameo and you're like, oh wow, that's the Resident Evil mansion. And okay, it's done, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, and you've got some familiar characters, but I think that's another one of those movies that that can be watched and enjoyed by people who haven't seen the video games.
Right, right.
I don't know. Did you like the Resident Evil movies?
I saw the first one. I didn't actually see anyone's beyond that. And I enjoyed it well enough. I think they went after the Girl Scout fact. Like, wasn't there like the security system that like sliced this guy up into a bunch of cubes or something?
It cubed this guy. That was, you know, I remember watching that. I'm like, that is a really good special effect. But then I was also thinking like, what? That's a bad way to die, man.
So it like really delves into the lore of the Umbrella Corporation, which you get hints of from the other games, especially at the time that this came out. They didn't do as much with it, I don't think, because this is like before Resident Evil 4.
It's before like Dark Side Chronicles Umbrella Chronicles. You know, those, the kind of exposition Wii games that really went into the lore.
So it gives you kind of a backdrop for like what those other games occurred in, and it's as far as I know, and I'm sure Sindra will like yell at me when she hears this and be like, no, it's not compatible with this and this, but I don't know that for sure. But you know, it seems to me that, you know, they're trying to make this cohesive universe that these stories can share, and that just might be the way you have to go. But you can't tell like a Mario Brothers movie without like just by from Toad's perspective or something like that, like Mario's cousin Vincent who's a lawyer and
I would
creates
watch
an atom bomb. I'm thinking more like it kind of makes me wonder, just in general, why make a video game into a movie in the first place? Like, are you trying to get like an existing install base to go see a movie and is like, ah, money in the bank, you know? Or is there just really something that like a movie maker sees and tries to make into a film and just fails horribly?
I don't know. Like,
the track record is just so bad. Why would you ever want to do it?
I don't know. Maybe like, I mean, it could be like a labor of love. You know what I mean? That's what I thought at first. That these directors. Now, there's
no
something
chance.
We can say for Uwe Boll or Uwe or however you pronounce his name, German guy. He is a pretty bad filmmaker, but he really loves those games. Like, he actually really loves, you know, he makes video game movies because he loves video games, you know? He's just a really bad filmmaker.
It's kind of like how we make Famicom Dojo because we really love video games and we're terrible at them.
That's very true. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope no one's thinking from listening to this podcast that since we love video games, we are really, really good at them. Because I am one of the worst video game players in the world, but I just love video games. Anyway, Resident Evil, I can kind of see. This is a very popular series.
Right, right. It's the only one that have three installments as far as I know, right? They made two Mortal Kombats and stopped. They didn't make sequels to anything else I can think of.
Oh, I believe they're making a sequel to Silent Hill, which we haven't talked about yet.
Oh. Yeah, where does that fit in? I haven't seen the Silent Hill games or movies. I haven't played the games either.
I have not watched the Silent Hill movie either. Oh, this is bad. We should have done that as research before. But the thing is, what's interesting is I've heard about the Silent Hill games, movies from people who are non-gamers and who were surprised to find out that they were based on video games.
Really? Okay.
And I at least one person told me that when they saw a new Silent Hill game, you know, they saw one being advertised, they're like, oh, they made a game out of that movie. And I thought, no. Really?
This isn't Street Fighter, really? The game, the movie, the game.
Exactly. So I was thinking like, that had enough appeal as a horror movie in itself.
Right.
That now I heard a lot of diehard Silent Hill fans found a lot wrong with it, but apparently it's one of the few video game movies that actually received fairly good reviews.
I have to admit to being part of the problem here, because when I hear that they're making a movie out of a game I like, and if it sounds like it might be any kind of good, like the Prince of Persia movie, I get excited, and I think that must be why they make it.
Because that's why, like, they keep making them.
So
I'm anti that. When I hear that they're making a movie based on a video game, I automatically assume it's crap before I even.
So what you're saying is that you're not excited for the Angry Birds movie.
Well, I don't know. Angry Birds. I mean, there's a lot of lore that can be told there. There's the epic struggle between catapulted birds' heads and non-moving pigs. How can you extend that for an hour and a half?
What is it? Is it supposed to be like CG, like a DreamWorks film?
It's going to be CG. It's going to be a CG thingy.
Okay, so at least it'll look right. But what do you do for an hour and a half or whatever?
I don't know. What? I mean, it's something that's been optioned. Maybe they'll when they actually start trying to write out a script, go,
they've
let's
optioned
just play Angry Birds.
They've optioned so many things. I've ever spent 2 hours playing Angry Birds and watching an Angry Birds movie, for sure. But they've optioned so many things, like the Asteroids movie they were talking about making. Do you remember it was like on Twitter, they're talking about this, and was it Gabe and Tycho? I don't remember the whole exchange, but it's like, how do you tell a story? I'm paraphrasing here. How do you tell the story of, like, Asteroids? It's like two brothers who are, like, you know, fighter pilots, and they, like, go and shoot asteroids.
Armageddon?
Yeah, right? and then it's like, what if it's a movie about asteroids and the asteroids were brothers?
Hey, that could work. So, because of this bad history of video games, that's why I didn't watch the Silent Hill movie. Even though it looked pretty good, it actually looked fairly well made. But I'm like, video game to movie, no, not gonna do it.
Yeah, if it's a game I haven't played, I have no interest whatsoever, because I feel like it's supposed to be pandering to that audience, and I'm not going to enjoy it as a film. Which means
I didn't watch the Hitman movie for the same reason.
There's a Hitman movie?
Yeah.
Oh, good God. Well, there's that Doom movie that I never went to go see, and I'm aware of that sequence where they had that first person type bit that was supposed to mimic being in the game.
Yep.
And I'm like, why didn't they just make a whole movie like that?
I think the audience would just get sick if they made a whole movie like that.
Oh, no. Wouldn't it be funny to have a main character that, like, never spoke? And it was kind of like that, you know, Doom Zelda typical first person protagonist thing where you just never say anything, and they're just like getting frustrated at this guy who never freaking talks.
Well, if it's like how I played or whatever, they get more frustrated at this guy who constantly shoots them
for no reason. It's like, man, we're on the same side. What are you doing?
Constantly shooting, constantly killing its own team.
That's a dark comedy. That's not an action film.
Yeah, I suppose. A movie that I think could work Here's one that I think could work.
Yeah, yeah.
They're working on an Uncharted movie right now.
Okay.
And Uncharted was so cinematic to begin with.
Right.
And that's actually what I liked about Uncharted. I don't know. A lot of the shooting was difficult for me, but like the it had a good story. It already looked like a movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just because it had that Indiana Jones vibe,
sure.
And Indiana Jones really dropped the ball recently.
Oh,
so.
I liked Crystal Skull. I don't know what the hate's all about. Even the CG monkeys didn't bother me.
It wasn't terrible, but tell me it really deserves a place in the box set next to the first three.
Well, you've seen Temple of Doom, right?
Well, I guess I've got my nostalgia filter on. I really do.
All right. So counterexample to Uncharted. Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy.
That is a game with like this built-in story out the you-know-what. You probably could string all the cinematics together from any particular game and have a movie. It wouldn't make sense, but you could have at least a feature-length film. Why on earth couldn't they make any money off this thing? I watched it. I liked it even.
It wasn't bad. It was not a bad film. It's just that I think, I don't know, maybe there was a little uncanny valley going on there because CG films weren't really, I mean... Well, I think it's maybe the same reason like a lot of audiences felt creeped out by Polar Express and Beowulf, you know.
Yeah.
Those kind of movies, which never really made a lot of money either. Like, whereas Toy Story, you know, you've got your suspension of disbelief.
There's a snake
there,
in my
know?
Boot. Toy Story 3 made me cry, and I think Final Fantasy made people cry too, but not for the same reason.
It sure made Squaresoft cry. It very nearly bankrupted the company. I think a lot of people don't realize this because you think Square's this huge, huge thing, but they formed their own studio for this thing. They spent so much money getting the computers and the system and hiring animators and getting the technology. Squaresoft Pictures only made two films ever. Do you know the second one?
Advent Children?
Nope. Oh. That was outsourced.
Okay.
They made... Well, it might have been a revival of it, but the only one they ever made also under Squaresoft Pictures was that little 7-minute short at the beginning of the Animatrix.
No.
Like Last Flight of Osiris or something like that.
Oh, that
was
great.
Yeah, wasn't that really good? But like they lost so much money on this. They in fact lost so much money that it took Enix to bail them out.
Right.
Which
and that's
is why we have
happened.
Square Enix.
Oh, jeez.
Because a lot of people think since Square was the first name that they bought Enix.
Right.
But it's not that. Oh, it's Enix bailed them out because otherwise they were done.
Better name recognition, I guess, right? Because Enix does Dragon Quest, right? Or am I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Enix was the Dragon Quest company, but like they were total rivals for the longest time.
Right, yeah. Final Fantasy versus
it was
Dragon
really
Warrior.
Surprising when they got together, you know. Dragon Quest was winning in the East and Final Fantasy was winning in the West.
Oh man.
Charlie Sheen was winning.
You're right about that Uncanny Valley thing because and it bothered me despite that I liked the film overall, but like the whole center of the face, like around the eyes and the nose especially, like nothing moved.
Yeah.
And it was weird. Yeah. And
I bet if they did it today, it would be better.
Yeah.
You know, but like at the time, no one had, it was what, 2001, right?
Yeah, something like that.
2000, 2001. I mean, that was amazing for the time. You know what I mean? But at the same time, also, I think a lot of the real Final Fantasy fans were disappointed that they didn't make a movie out of like 7 or 8. You know.
Well, I mean, the general plot thrust, and this is kind of going back to the Prince of Persia bit.
Yeah.
The general plot thrust kind of was the Final Fantasy story. You know, like the Earth is alive, and we're destroying it with our technology. And they basically had materia in that movie, basically. But,
yeah.
But it there wasn't really a villain. Like on the scope of like Kefka or Sephiroth, like,
yeah.
like those
yeah.
things defined those games, and it just did not exist. And I think I realized something now about Final Fantasy, which is why they can never be made into a successful movie, which is that as cinematic as those sequences are in the games, And as beautiful as they are, and as clever as a dialogue, you know, in between can be, I think those are just distractions from the constant level grinding you have to do to finish the game.
Yeah.
You don't get the kind of reward feedback for spending hours and hours.
Well, exactly. There's the a certain satisfaction of finally being able to beat one of the bosses rather than just. I think that's the disappointment one would feel if you were playing a Final Fantasy game and you got to the last boss and it was just a cinema scene only, you know.
Right, right. Except the whole game's a cinema scene.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting that way. That's another topic. The press A to win mentality that games are going in right now. But I think that's probably enough for this podcast. Yep. I mean, there's so many more. There's so many more games to movies. The Double Dragon movie.
Yeah.
Things like that. A King of Fighters is a new one. I haven't watched it yet. It's not out here in Japan yet. It's got Maggie Q in it. She's a very, very attractive woman, but she's missing some of the necessary qualities to play Mai.
Oh, boo.
What? I was talking about long hair.
Oh.
Pervert. Anyway, and they're going to continue being made. That's just how it is. Some of them are good, some of them are less good. So how about you guys? And you can put on the nostalgia goggles if you want. Tell us about one that you liked when you were a kid that maybe you're a little afraid to watch now for fear that it hasn't aged as well as you believe, or what games do you think would make really good movies? And I think there are. I think someone really, really could make a great movie out of a game such as Valkyria Chronicles,
mm-hmm.
but I'm thinking more of an animated movie.
Well, and to call back what we were talking about, and specifically what you said during the Back to the Future podcast, which you should go listen to now to see what we're talking about. But they could probably make those games into a movie. They could totally. Just, you know, maybe animate the bits in between, a little bit of action that you would have done, and make that into a film, even if it's not a full 90 minutes. I think it's a fantastic installment, and maybe the process of trying to make that into a film will prove me wrong. But that's my example. It's really yours, but I'm going to make it mine for the purpose of this episode.
But anyway, what do you think? Movies to games. I mean, sorry, games to movies. Is it a good idea or not?
Maybe movies to games can be our next topic. I don't know.
I think I might need to let this one sit for a little while. But yeah, there's definitely a podcast in there. So anyway, thank you everyone for your continued feedback and let us know what you feel about this, because we've definitely only scratched the surface on these games to movies.
Oh yeah.
Well, with that, you know what? I think I'm going to watch a couple of these that I've never gotten through. You know, we make fun of Uwe Boll so much. Is it possible that maybe he's actually a really good director, but just everybody's just taken the word of everybody else and not watched his movies?
No.
No, I don't think so either. But but maybe I'll give it a try. I'm in the mood for some schlock.
All right, and with that, that's the end of the podcast. So we'll see you guys next week.
Famicom Dojo.
I shouldn't do, hold on. All right. Because I can cut them up for intros or something. Okay. Start over.